Has director Michael Bay transformed his movie franchise into a story that gets the science right? Listen to Jacob Blickenstaff's review to find out.
Michael Bay has directed three films in the Transformers series. The most recent installment, Transformers Dark of the Moon, was one of the most popular films of the summer of 2011, and has recently been released on DVD. This is an adrenaline-fueled action film from start to finish, so perhaps it's not surprising that most of the issues I have to point out are errors of physics, planetary science, and logic. If you didn't grow up playing with toys that inspired the film, or if you haven't read any of the comic books or seen any of the TV shows, you'll need a bit of a backstory. Transformers are intelligent machines from the planet Cybertron, and they have the ability to change shape to imitate vehicles or other machines. They arrived on Earth and continue a long-standing battle between two rival factions, the Autobots and the Decepticons. In the Transformers world, the Autobots are good Transformers who fight for individual freedoms and take the side of humans on Earth. The Decepticons, on the other hand, want to establish a dictatorship with humans as slaves. The Autobots are led by Optimus Prime, while the Decepticons are led by Megatron. In the first two films in the live-action series introduce the main robot characters on each side and Sam Witwicky, played by Shia LaBeouf, the human who has the closest relationship with the Autobots. John Turturro, Frances McDormand, and John Malkovich all take time out from their more serious film projects for this unapologetic action flick. Dark of the Moon opens with a shot of the Very Large Array, a radio observatory in New Mexico. The VLA is used to conduct radio astronomy observations and has been featured in several other science fiction films, including Contact of 1997. It's neat to see it here, but the problem is the film depicts the VLA as existing in 1961, while in reality the facility was built in the 1970s. In the film, the VLA detects an impact of an unidentified craft on the moon, which becomes the motivation for the race between the US and the Soviet Union to reach the moon. There is some neat insertion of actual newsreel footage from the 1960s in this section of the movie. When Neil Armstrong and the other Apollo astronauts arrive on the moon, they discover an Autobot ship, but there are no functioning robots. The plot then builds around a Decepticon scheme to teleport all of Cybertron to Earth and enslave humanity. Witwicky and the Autobots must once again save the planet. There are a couple of scientific terms and concepts about the moon that are confused and conflated by the writers of the film. First, the dark of the moon is a period in the lunar cycle when the moon cannot be seen from the Earth. It's also known as the new moon. The dark side of the moon refers to the side of the moon that faces away from the Earth, even though that side is not actually dark. It's a misunderstanding of the Earth-moon system. One face of the moon is always oriented toward the Earth, which means the opposite side always faces away from the Earth. In fact, at new moon, the far side is fully illuminated by the sun. We just cannot see any of the illuminated portion. During the real moon landings, there were periods of radio silence when the craft was on the far side of the moon, and radio signals could not be sent. Astronauts always landed on the side facing the Earth, though, so there were no radio blackouts after landing, as depicted in the film. Transformer 3's special effects of the astronauts on the moon are quite good, but I'm still more impressed by what I saw in Moon, a film from 2009, which had a tiny fraction of the budget of Transformers. There are a number of tributes to the Star Trek franchise in this film, the most obvious being the casting of Leonard Nimoy as the voice of Sentinel Prime. In this role, he gets the chance to repeat one of his most famous lines from the Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few." Though I appreciated that tribute, the writers are not very careful about logic. Sentinel Prime has been in a kind of hibernation since the ship left Cybertron, and has never seen humans or Earth. Shortly after being awakened, he says that his teleportation device defies your laws of physics. But I have two issues with that statement. First, one of the central ideas of science is that our understanding changes with time, so another technology might seem magical, but it wouldn't defy any laws of physics. Second, Sentinel Prime just woke up from hibernation, so he shouldn't know our current understanding of physics. Finally, the film makes a common error in geography when showing the Decepticons have placed teleportation pillars all over the Earth. For some reason, filmmakers can't seem to remember that the sun can shine on only half the Earth at a time, so when they show quick jump cuts from North America to Asia to Europe, it's not possible for all of these places to be in full daylight at the same time. I brought up this issue in reviews of Jumper and Nim's Island a few years ago, and I hope one day to see a film that gets this right.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
Optimus!